The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the third chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So it's funny, we've just had the birth of Jesus, and now all of a sudden he's 30 years old, and he's standing at the Jordan. We heard a little bit about John in our text leading up to Christmas as well, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. And now we have this time that we celebrate Festival Sunday, the baptism of our Lord, which is exciting, especially to have a baptism today too. We tend to look at this text. I may be referring back to it, so if you want to keep your bulletin open to that, you can follow along with me. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens opened, the dove came down, and he heard the voice. And we tend to gravitate when we hear this text to that point. And it's a wonderful thing to hear Christ affirmed at the baptism for everyone that was there to hear and to see this happening and understanding this is the one. Right? Anybody with eyes could see what was going on there. And as we read the text, we tend to gravitate towards that part of this text. It's like the text goes about that I'm going to see John, I'm at the Jordan, and give it things. And then all of a sudden it's the dove and the thing, and we go, "Oh, great." Makes a great moment in a movie, right? And it's a wonderful moment for us as Christians. But we tend to skirt around a little bit what happened just before in the text. Jesus came from Galilee to John the Baptist, at the Jordan, of course, to be baptized by him. John the Baptist would have prevented him. Who? Who was John going to prevent being baptized? Jesus. That seems kind of silly. If Jesus came there to meet John, why would John want to prevent Jesus from being baptized? And we start to understand, right? He says, "I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?" What's happening here? Anybody want to speculate? Or not? Right. We hear earlier John say, "I'm not worthy to untie his sandals." He's talked about Jesus. He knows Jesus is coming. He gets who Jesus is. And then this Jesus comes walking in and wants to be baptized by him. It does seem kind of weird, doesn't it? How often do you go into the president of the company you work for so that the president can have you do something for him that's really the president's job? The president asks you to give him a raise. Well, it's not going to happen, is it? Do you understand how difficult this is for John to have Jesus, who he knows who Jesus is, come walking up to him and telling him he's supposed to baptize Jesus? And Jesus says what? It's right that we do all that God requires to fulfill all righteousness, right? That's what Jesus says. He says, "John, this is your job. This is what you're supposed to be doing." And I love this next, it's three words, one of the shorter sentences in the Bible. Then he consented. Who consented? John. John goes, "All right, if you're telling me I'm supposed to do it, I guess I'll take care of this job." It's really funny when you think about it, isn't it? It reminds me of, often, as pastor, when I come up to someone and say, I wonder if you've considered being an usher. Or I wonder if you've considered coming and helping with this project. Or I wonder if you'd come be a reader. And the response I get is, I can't do that. Huh? I don't know how to read. And we're going to learn something together this morning. It's really important for us all to take from this place and to share with everybody that we meet. Listen, God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Try that with me. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. One more time. God does not call the called. God calls us, right? Into all kinds of positions that we don't feel worthy to do. You can tell that the Holy Spirit is calling you, that God is calling you to a position when it makes you uncomfortable. That's usually a good sign. Oh, that sounds like something I don't want to do. That's probably the Spirit. That's probably God coming to tell you, I need you to do something that's going to be really difficult and you're not going to like it. You're going to feel odd about it, John. But this is what we're required to do for all righteousness. I need to tell you the story of Joe Vittori. How many people know Joe? Nobody in here? Okay. Joe Vittori, good friend of mine, when I was at Grace Lutheran Church, I was looking around for people to be chaperones with me on trips with young people. We were going on this one particular trip to an island. You know where Mackinac Island is, right? And then there's the Mackinac Bridge. So Mackinac Island, Mackinac Bridge. And then there's a little tiny island called St. Helena. And there's a lighthouse on it. And it's run by the Great Lake Lighthouse Keepers Association. It's got a great acronym. It's like GLICA, something like that. And we were going to go, a group of us, our youth, to this island to work on a boathouse that the Boy Scouts had designed and had been working on, and then different groups would come in and do little portions of it. So when we got there, the boathouse was built, the frame of it, and part of our job while we were there was to put the roofing, some of the roofing on, and put the siding on. That was our one little piece that we got to do while we were there. And I begged Joe, who's, I don't know if any of you might know Joe, because he's got a car shop up in Roscoe, or he did, he had sold it since then. But he had a car shop up in Roscoe, it was a Napa Auto Center, called Vittori's, which was his last name, is his last name. So I begged Joe, I said, Joe, come on with me, let's go up with all these kids, it'll be fun. And Joe was like, I don't know, Scott. So he finally consented. And he was my male chaperone, and my female chaperone was a gal I know named Tiffany. And so we went up, and we stayed at the host church, and then we went out to the island, and we worked for a week, and we came back. Now, when we first went up, we were there for like 24 hours at a host church, which isn't out on the island. It's you know, in Michigan. It's, you know. It was near Sheboygan, but not the Wisconsin. It's the other. It's the CH Sheboygan, not the SH. You guys know what I'm talking about? This is two Sheboygans. And as we were driving around, because we were kind of checking it out, place out, we wanted to go have dinner with the kids one night, we drove by this auto repair place. And across the top of the building, it said in giant letters, giant yellow letters, it said Psalm 23. And I remember we stopped, and we were working our way through a book called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, which is a great book. And the whole group of us had been reading this book, and all of a sudden we drive by, you know, it's one of those God moments. We drive by this place, and here's Psalm 23, like affirming everything that we've been doing all week. And so we all get out, and we get our picture taken in front of the auto place, and I can tell this is working on Joe. He's like, I never thought of my auto place as a place to connect with people about God. He said, I've never thought about it that way. Well, the week went on, and after a little while, we were on the island one night, and we all slept in tents. Well, not me. I got to sleep in the lighthouse, which was great because it was drier, because it rained, and it was stormy a couple days. And one night, actually it was late afternoon, we get the call that there's a boat that's going to go onto the rocks on the side of the island, right? And we've got a guy there who's got a boat that had taken us to the island and would take us back. And his boat's called the Cake and Ice Cream because it looked like cake and ice cream. It's like, so anyway, it's like a tugboat. And we get this report that there's this sailboat that's crashing up against the shore. And so myself and one of the students and the captain, of course, of the Cake and Ice Cream, we get on that boat. And we all the way around to the side of the island where this boat's being in, and it's choppy weather, and we're going up and down. Joe takes a handful of the other kids, and they all run out on the shore, and somewhere along the way, he picks up a rowboat. Okay? And they get out there, and as we bring the cake and ice cream around, we can see Joe's out in the rowboat next to this, sailboat, kind of, it's like a Great Lakes sailboat. And he's getting somebody off the boat into the rowboat, and they take him back to the shore. They're trying to help him off. But the guy's worried about his boat, that it's going to get damaged, of course, because it's hitting the rocks. And so we throw a rope from the cake and ice cream out because we're going to pull it off the rocks a little bit and then anchor it so it can sit there in the storm and do this. Right? You guys get how that works? So are you, some of you seafaring people? So we throw the rope out there, and of course, you know, it's 100 yards, and you're not going to throw a rope 100 yards, but we get it out there, and the waves kind of take it in, and Joe gets it on the rowboat, and he's trying to get the rope to the guy, and he dives off the end of the boat with the rope in his hand. It's like out of a movie. It was so awesome. And he's swimming through the treacherous water, and he's a great swimmer, and he gets the rope up there to the guy, and they tie off the schooner, and he gets back in his rowboat, and we pull the boat off the shore, and they anchor it. And we get the guy off the boat, and we come back around. And when I get back to the boathouse that we've been rebuilding, and now it's dry enough that we can be inside of it, that's where we've been sleeping, because we're supposed to leave like the next day. Joe's in the lighthouse with all the students that were with him. All the students we had about 12, and Joe, and he's leading them in the Psalm 23 Bible study. You know, they've combed their hair, it's all wet, but it's all laid, you know what I mean? Because they've been out in the water. And there he is, leading the Bible study, just like, well, that's what we were supposed to do at this point. God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the called. Get it? It was just a moment that I could see everything coming together. Joe was so moved, by the way, by what happened. He comes back to the Rockford Roscoe area, and he eventually ended up at Heartland, and he got some help from Heartland to start a car ministry at his shop. And what he does is he receives used cars that people, you know, are getting rid of for whatever reason. And he and a bunch of guys, they meet, they have a meal, they go through a Bible study, and then they work on a car. And they get it fixed up, and then they give it to somebody who can't afford to have a car right now, but they need to be able to get back and forth to work. A car ministry. God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the called. Who does God call? All of us. Every single one of us. Any one of us is Joe, right? Any one of us is being called by God to go into a place that's going to make us feel completely out of sorts, completely uncomfortable. But there's something happening. There's something going on in God's kingdom that is coming to touch us when God calls us, even into those uncomfortable places. So the next time you hear, I wonder if you would be part of this project, and it makes you feel really uncomfortable, consider maybe God is calling, talking to your heart. Because in a lot of ways, as we respond to the Holy Spirit, it's like having sandpaper to kind of smoothen out our rough edges. I've always kind of seen it like that. And so we pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. God, you call us, just as John the Baptist is called, to be a servant to Christ in baptism. Lord, it's easy for us to get wrapped up in feeling like we're not worthy to do a job that you might be calling us to do. God, help us to see with new eyes the way in which you call us. You call us at every age. You call us no matter what our physical health is. Lord, please help us see those calls that you bring to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we continue with our service, please rise as you are able.